thankful for another opportunity to preach, and I'm excited about the Lord. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 11. I hear pages still flipping. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, Luke chapter 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being good, or being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Heavenly Father, we need You tonight. I need You, Lord. I need You to guard my mind, guard my mouth. Lord, help me to preach in Your power and in Your ability. Help me, Lord, not to lean on my own understanding or not to lean on my own ability and my own strength, but to lean on You. God, give me Your wisdom. Give me Your help. Give me Your ability, Lord, in this hour and in this moment. You said, Lord, that You're a very present help in our time of need. And Lord, I need help preaching tonight. I need You. Lord, I pray that You would help Your people through the preached Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. In our text, the disciples were so earnest to learn how to pray. And I believe that they had seen Jesus get His strength. They had seen Him peaceful when everything around them was going crazy. I believe that they took note of Jesus as He asked the Father for His needs, and they wanted that connection with God the Father. They were asking, Lord, teach us what it is to pray. Teach me to pray. But not just the words that I can recite, but Lord, teach me what having a prayer life really is. Amen. They were asking Him, Lord, stir us up for the duty of prayer. Lord, direct us what to pray for. Lord, teach us what we should say. Prayer is a most unnatural thing to human beings. There's nothing comfortable about having a real prayer life. There's nothing easy about really getting in communication with God. It takes submission of our own will. It takes reverence to the one who created us. It takes us leaning on Him rather than leaning on our own understanding and our own ability. These disciples realized how important prayer was, not just in their weekly life, not in a monthly life or a yearly life, but in their daily life, they needed constant communication with the Lord. I believe that prayer is the principal thing in the Christian walk, And prayer for a Christian is tantamount to communication in a marriage. And without communication, you don't have much of a relationship. I believe that we have a lot of Christians who are sincere in their beliefs, but they have lost the ability to have a relationship, or they don't have a relationship, a true, warm relationship with the Lord, because they're not in communication with the Lord. They're not walking with Him. They're not talking with Him. They have scriptural knowledge. I believe that there are people who can quote the Bible and much greater than I can, but yet they're not in communion with the Lord. They have a knowledge of Him. They have a knowledge of His Word, but they don't have the warmness and the walk that goes along with knowing the Lord as their personal Savior, because the prayer life relationship is either non-existent or so faint that it only comes in when emergencies arise. A lot of times we treat God like a luxury, that we can go get Him when we want Him. Sometimes we treat Him like He's a spare tire, and we wait until we got a flat and sitting on the side of the road before we evoke the power of prayer. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, God said, "Command ye my hands." Now, that doesn't mean that we get to order God around and tell Him everything to do. That simply means that you and I have the ability to go to Him in prayer and ask what we will. We can enter into the throne room of grace and petition God for whatever it is that we need. This is an incredibly important task and an incredibly important thing in the Christian's walk. So I want to give you this first off, just jumping right in. Number one, why we should pray. Why we should pray. And I'll try my best not to take too awful long. I realize we have conference tonight, and it's only 6:40, so we got till midnight, right? Why should we pray? Well, verse number 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We should pray because we have sin and there is a devil. I know that's very simple and it's a very elementary thing to learn, but man, we need to put the cookies on the bottom shelf when it comes to our prayer life. The reason that we need praying is not so that we can grace God with our voice. It's so that God can grace us with His gracious presence in the midst of our sin and in the midst of fighting the devil. It feels like some week we come out fighting hell by the acre and warring all day long and every single day, and the fiery darts hit us from every single side. And if we are foolish enough to go without communication with our Heavenly Father, friend of mine, we are in a dangerous place. We should pray because we have sin and there is a devil. It was so important to the Apostle Paul that we pray that he wrote half of the chapter of Ephesians, chapter number 6, addressing the communication and prayer life of a child of God. Listen to what he said. You guys know this scripture. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then verse number 18, he gave you what would tie all of that armor together. Here's something I know. You're not going to put on the armor of God if you're not willing to take commands from our great general in glory. Amen? Here's what he says after telling us our outfit to put on every single day. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." You can be armored up to the hilt with everything that you think you would ever need, but if you're not getting commands from Command Central, friend of mine, you're not marching in the right direction. What's the point in being armored up if you're not armored up to serve the Lord? I remember when I was little, me and my brother, we played army all the time. And sometimes we'd get lucky and we would get a little toy gun that we could take out in the woods. It didn't matter what it looked like, we just had one. But for the most part, we played with sticks that looked like guns. That's the best thing about being a kid. You pick up any stick and turn it into a gun. Amen? It's great. We would go out there and we would army crawl. I remember that I would pack up everything that I thought that I needed. I had like a little utility belt. And I had a compass. It was a little fake compass. I remember taking my compass out in the woods with me because, hey, man, you didn't know if you was going to get lost or not, right? I put my compass in there with me, and I had a canteen that I'd fill up, and I'd keep it with me. And I had my gun, so I had to have extra bullets. Now, my extra bullets were maybe Nerf bullets or something. I don't know what they were, but I kept them too, you're right? And I had all of this stuff that I thought that I needed while I was out there. And, man, I'd get out there, and I'd get to crawling around, and I'd lose half my stuff, and I wouldn't have anything. But I thought in my mind that I was really doing something. Man, I was really doing like what a soldier would do. And then I got a little bit older, and something piqued my interest. I never became one, and I never took the armor too, but I read about the armed forces, and I read about Navy SEALs in particular and the training that they go through. And I remember thinking, man, them guys doing some serious army crawl right there. See, they don't call up 10-year-old boys who get everything out of their room to go down there and fight the wars. They call up the Navy SEALs and they send out those SEAL teams, or they send out those Army Rangers that have really trained for battle. You get what I'm saying to you here? You can put everything on that you think you need, but until you're a soldier and serving the Lord, you're really just fighting a fake battle. And the thing is we have a real opponent, and our opponent is, well, look in the mirror. And our opponent is that wicked one, the devil. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We should pray because we have sin and there is a devil. But we should also pray because Jesus has commanded us to. We've been commanded to pray. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8 says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary, for he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The greatest demonstration, Christian, the greatest demonstration of your faith is not you doing some great act. It's not you going out and starting a great crusade. It's not you starting up another ministry. Those are not great acts of faith. Those are obedience to the command that God has put on your life. What is a great act of faith? Having enough confidence in the prayer closet to go back to it every single day. You want to talk about something that takes some discipline? Go to prayer. Something that takes some determination? Go pray every single day, even when you don't think your prayers are getting answered. Even when you don't think God's moving on your behalf, hey, Lord, I'm just going to continue having faith in you because I believe you're going to bring me through this. So I'm going to pray about it again today, and I'm going to pray about it again tomorrow. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, is what David said. Why is it that we have Christians who say, I'm just going to throw it in the ring one time and hope God does something with it, and I'm going to forget about it and never pray about it again? Prayer is important. Because we have been commanded by the Lord Jesus for us to pray so that we can obtain what we stand in need of. Demonstrate that faith in God by praying to Him every single day. God is not looking for people who will do extraordinary acts in His name, but He is seeking those who will ask extraordinary acts to glorify His name. I like when people pray prayers so big and so mighty that it has no ability to be anybody else other than the Lord who did it. I like that. I like when people come up to me and say, "Preacher, I've been praying about this thing for weeks now. I didn't know what to do about it. And God answered my prayer tonight while you was preaching. Or God answered my prayer in the song service. Or God answered my prayer before I ever even got to church. Or Lord, I had something that I needed and I prayed and God answered me." Friend of mine, take faith in prayer and go to God in prayer and let the Lord work in your life to where when you look at it, you have to say, "God gets the glory for this." Not that you do it on your own, but that you let the Lord do it. A lack of prayer shows a lack of faith, and it ends with a lack of power in the Christian life. It ends with a lack of power in the Christian life. Prayer is important, and we should pray. Number two, for those of you that's taking notes, I'm having me a good time. Prayer is God's appointed way to obtain things from Him. That's the way God wants us to get it. He wants us to depend and rely on Him. See, here's what happens a lot of times. We will pray about something, and as we pray about that something, we'll... an opportunity may arise and we will fix it. And then it blows up again. And we can't understand. What happened? Well, you said you left it in God's hands, but the truth of the matter is you picked it up and you tried to fix it yourself. We've all done it. Luke 11 verses 9 and 10 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." James chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, "Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and ye desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." Satisfaction, contentment, and discernment are obtained in the prayer closet. I don't give a plug nickel for these folks that talk about having Christian spiritual discernment that ain't prayed a day in their life. Don't tell me you got a bunch of spiritual discernment and you won't go to God the Father and ask Him and ask His ability about a situation. And believe me, it's pretty invasive in the church, this thing of, "Well, I just got an inkling about somebody. I'm bad about it. I just got a thought about somebody. I don't know if I ought to like them or not." God help me, and God help you. Here is the Lord telling us what to do. And we find that when we pray, there's no sweeter satisfaction than the Savior. There's no greater contentment than Christ. And there's no better discernment than dying to ourselves. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." R.A. Torrey, the great preacher yesteryear, said, "What little streams of mercy and grace most of us know when we might know rivers overflowing their banks." In the prayer closet, there are certain things that we may know when we go down into the prayer closet. You know what those are? One is the fullness of joy. John 16:24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." We find freedom from worry and God's peace when we get down there in the prayer closet. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding does not come until after you've prayed. We're not going to have just this great endowment of peace simply because we want it. He wants you to bring your burdens. He wants you to bring your trials. He wants you to bring your troubles and lay them there at His feet and say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to leave it with You. I'm not going to pick it up. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to trust You. I would say perhaps the greatest gift anyone can give you is to have a faithful prayer warrior pray for you. Somebody that's sincere in their prayer life. Another thing we can know in the prayer closet is the Holy Spirit. Verse number 13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We find protection from temptation in the prayer closet. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36 said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Prayer is very important, and it's God's appointed way for us to obtain these things from Him. Two more. 6:55. We're 15 minutes in. Look at what prayer can accomplish. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly, because He's going to get glory for it. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. In your prayer closet and in your prayer life, you will find that God knows what you need. And you have enough to pray about without repeating the same thing over and over and over again. If we got sincere in our prayer closet and we called out every church member's name, if we took our directory and went down through there and we called out each other's names in prayer and we prayed for each life that's in there, and we called each person's family name out in prayer, and we asked God to do something, I promise you, that sweet hour of prayer will turn into two. You're going to spend a whole lot of time. That's just praying for the people in the church. That doesn't include the needs that you have, or the people that are outside of the church, or your friends and family members that you're praying for. See, we have allowed, I told the youth group this Wednesday or Thursday, we have allowed the words, I'm praying for you, to become a cliche in the church. It's just something nice to say when somebody tells us that they're having trouble in their home or in their family or in their life, and we let it roll off our tongue. I'm praying for you. And it becomes that cliche to the point where we say it over and over again, to where people accuse us of not praying when the hard times do come. What a sad state that the prayer life of Christians is in. I know this because I battle it too. We can know so much more of what prayer can accomplish. But church, we have got to pray We have got to learn to pray. Here's what prayer will accomplish. It will accomplish spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." One of the greatest privileges that we have as Christians is growing in the faith. And growing up in the faith. Now, I'm not talking about physically growing up. I'm talking about when the spiritual battles come that force you out of your comfort zone and they make you become mature. You either do one or two things. You either mature or you tuck tail and run. That's what happens in spiritual growth. And I have learned that when I tucked my tail and I ran, God brought me right back around to a situation that I thought I had avoided. I thought that I had made my way out of it. I thought that I had gotten away from having to deal with a number of situations where I've decided I didn't want to deal with them. I thought I'd get away with it. No, I've learned that you might as well just hit those things head on. If you don't, you're going to come back around to it. You're going to find it again. It's going to come back to you one way or another. Amen. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth happens in the prayer closet and through continuing to go through the prayer closet. Prayer is powerful enough to bring power to our work. John 15, verses 5 through 7 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." I like when God moves in something, and there's power already on it before I ever even get there. I like when there's power in the church service before I ever even get to it. Did you know that there's some times that I need my batteries recharged too? I need that choir to be on point. We have a church that's looking for us, looking for something from the pulpit and looking for me to preach, and I realize and I'm fully aware of the responsibility that I have, but man, it's a whole lot easier to preach when the song service has been real good. We run around and get offended when the choir don't sound just so. Being on point might always not be about how it sounds. It might be that they got the Holy Spirit on them when they go up there to sing. I need to leave that alone, don't I? It brings power to our work. It brings power when we spend time in prayer to what we do for the Lord. Prayer avails in the conversion of men. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Jeff and Donnie, y'all remember this. Years ago, we had a young lady. Her name was Heather, was in the youth group at Liberty. And Heather would get up every Sunday morning during children's church and she'd say, "Y'all pray for my daddy. He's not right with God." And some people got to praying for him. And in our community, we had, y'all have heard me mention Brother Johnny White. In our community, we had an old preacher. His name was Johnny White. He died in, 2014, 2016. He's been gone for a good while. He's been in heaven. And Brother Johnny was God's man, and he pastored the whole community. He wasn't just a pastor. He was a pastor of church, but then he pastored everywhere else. And I don't mean physically going in a building. I mean if you needed him, he was there. And that man, Heather's daddy, knew Brother Johnny. Everybody in the community knew Brother Johnny. One Sunday morning, that little girl stood up. They'd come and they'd bring her to church and they'd drop her off and shoo, man, they was gone out of the parking lot. One Sunday morning, she stood up and she said, "Y'all pray for my daddy. He's not right with God." And my pastor at that time, he got a phone call
And on the phone call was Brother Johnny, and Pastor could hear somebody sobbing in the background. Heather's daddy's name was Rex. And Rex had done went over to Brother Johnny's house and was squalling. I gotta get right with God. I gotta get right with God. Brother Johnny sat there and pastored that man. They got right. He got things right with the Lord. His wife got right. They began attending church, all because some little girl had the effectual, fervent prayer and would get up every Sunday and say, "Y'all pray for my daddy." Man, what would happen if we got consistent in our prayer life, consistent in our prayer request? How many people could we see converted? How many people could we see restored? How many people could we see lives change, our church grow, all because our church decides that, hey, come what may, we're going to get a hold of God. We're going to pray because prayer is important. One last thing. Prayer brings blessings to our church. Malachi 3, verses 10 and 11 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Miss Esther said this morning that on that Facebook post, people were tagging Gateway and talking about Gateway. Thank God for the testimony in the community that we have. But you know why that testimony is there? Because somebody's been praying. And we're seeing God move. I believe that we're seeing God move. I've said this for years. We are on the cusp of revival, church. I'm not talking about a big meeting where we have a lot of people in attendance. I'm talking about where lives are changed for the cause of Christ. I'm talking about where we get serious about serving God. Where we look around us and we see God pouring out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. Got this pretty new carpet. It'd be fine with me if we had pews filled up with people to admire it. Be fine with me if we had to go to 2 services on Sunday morning and 4 services on Sunday night. Now I say that now. We got plenty of preachers around here. Amen. Be all right if we saw God move to where downstairs we had to. It'd be fine with me if the sanctuary was so full that we had to put people downstairs and have them watch on the TVs while we're out here. Be all right with me if we had to do service, multiple services, whatever we had to do. Be better if we had to build another building. Be all right with me if we saw God give us all the property that we'd need. Amen. Be fine with me if we saw God move in our church in such a way that lives were changed, that homes were changed, that the whole city of Villarica and Carroll and Douglas and Paulden County were changed, because it starts at Gateway Baptist Church. Turn this world upside down is going to start by us turning our prayer life upside down. And getting shook up for the cause of Christ. Let God pour out a blessing. See, there's a tithe, not only in financial tithe. Thank God you folks good about tithing. Thank God for the financial tithe. But man, there's a time tithe. There's a prayer tithe. Amen? I read a statistic years ago. I don't know if it's been updated. If so, it's probably less than what it was now. But it said that the average Christian prays 5 minutes a day. And I've told you guys this before, there are 1,440 minutes in a 24-hour period. The average Christian prays 5 of those. That means we don't even pray 1% of our day. And we wonder why we have no power, and why churches are empty, and why things are going crazy in the world.
the importance of prayer. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Precious Heavenly Father, God, teach us to pray. Help us, Lord, to bring our prayer closet, or to be more in our prayer closet. Lord, help us to serve you with fervor. Help us, Lord, to seek your face. Help us, Lord, to call out to you. Help us, Lord, not to rely on ourselves, but to trust in you and to rely on you. God, give us wisdom. God, give us your power. God, give us your help. God, move. I ask this in your holy name. Would you stand with us this evening?